Okay, if you'll repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I do have eyes that see.
I do have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my spirit does perceive.
And my spirit does perceive.
What you're saying.
What you're saying.
To me.
To me.
So this message isn't about the next guy, it's about me. So last Sunday, I shared with you a word that the Lord gave me on a personal level, and it ties into a scripture that I will be sharing with you in John chapter 15. These are the words he spoke to me, and I wrote them down because if you're like me, a word can come, and if it's not written, guess what? It gets tampered with. So one word missing can change the meaning. So, the word was, you are so impressed by the supernatural, but you should find it normal by this time. You are my servant, and you cringe at my instruction. You cry out to me and dictate my word to get me to perform for your plan for yourself. You need to come to know me, and to get to know me, K-N-O-W, and my ways.
Amen.
Welcome, and it will become normal to you, directed by my spirit to your spirit. As I receive my orders and instructions, I will impress them to your spirit and direct your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, to do the work that have been prepared for you by my plan, for your complete salvation of your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Do not settle for the past being good enough for your future. What is past will not suffice for the new day. And my new way, which is to come upon you, rest in me and see my glory, not your own glory, that many hijack from me and do not realize it until it was too late. You need to know me first and foremost in order to do my will and not your own. Trust me, my chosen one, and that has an S. My chosen ones, trust me. So the message is variable. Some of it is specifically for me. Some of it is past tense. And my sister will type it out so that, God willing, you'll have a copy of it Sunday. She offered, so I'm taking up this offer that somebody gave to me. So I want you to come now to John chapter 15. I want you to go up to verse 10. If you obey my commands, this is in red, so this is the Lord speaking. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father and his commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. He doesn't say you should. He doesn't say try. He said do it. Nike. Yeah. Just do it. You know? People are trying to perform to make love happen. Just do it. Don't try to question them and figure them out. Don't try to figure out if they deserve it or not. Just do it. So, verse 18 might help you to understand why some people can't stand you. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Here's the one I want you to see. But I have chosen you out of the world. Remember the message was given to me? Chosen? I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And without a cause or without a reason. That's my version. They will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So it goes both sides. Some will hear what you say, and they'll adhere it, and they'll understand it. Some will reject what you say. That tells you where they're from. Amen? 21. They will treat you this way because of my name, which is his nature. For they do not know the one who sent me. That's knowledge, intimacy. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. Now, that's pretty clear. Some people don't even realize what they speak. But when you read between the lines and their actions and reactions, you know who they belong to. You know which kingdom they're from. 24. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. What kind of miracles is he speaking about? He's talking about people coming out of the grave. He's talking about people coming out of sick bed. He's talking about the cripple being set free. And God was constantly being shown to them, and they couldn't accept them because they weren't religious enough. Did you hear me? The fishermen. Just take a mental picture of the fishermen. Did you ever hang out where they fix fish? Oh. The smell comes from where? It's actually in their pores. That oily smell, it's like the barnyard smell. It goes in your clothes. It goes into your fiber of your being. Okay? They didn't use Dove. I'm serious when I say, you know, there was an odor from these fishermen. Jesus was along with them. How do you know he didn't have the same odor on him? If you hang out in the barnyard, you're going to have what? Yeah. So, what am I saying? When they would walk into Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost, these guys that came from the woods way up north would smell Galilean, and their dialect, their speech, gave them away. Jesus did not speak southern slang like they had. So he was a northerner. Did you ever go down south beyond the Mason-Dixon line and listen to yourself and they'll tell you where you're from in 2 seconds flat? Why? Because your dialect spells New England. Yes? You don't have to advertise. They literally know where you're from. Get a person coming up and they call up, you all this here and that, and you get to, oh yeah, Texas, right? And I mean, it just is what it is. Well, it was no different in that day. So when Jesus came to the city for these celebrations, and they did it 3 times a year, everybody in Jerusalem was aware. The outsiders are invading. They don't dress right. They don't smell right. They don't use the aftershave we use or whatever. You got the point? So there was an aura around them, but there was also an awareness that they were not the locals. And when the miracles happened with them around, they were being talked about constantly. The biggest irritation they had is when Lazarus came out of the grave. That was roughly from here to the Springfield line. That's how roughly the distance is from where Lazarus was came out of the grave to downtown Jerusalem. So 2-3 miles is nothing. That's done in 45 minutes of walk. So the whole city was up in arms. Because now you've got Jesus coming in on a donkey. And the whole country is celebrating this resurrection that has just happened. Now, I mean, if you were the high mucky mucks, you'd say, whoa, we're about to be voted out of town. We haven't raised anybody out of the grave. We haven't laid hands on anybody. We haven't healed anybody. We haven't had people with broken arms or legs be restored. The cripple being set free. Yeah. And some of them had been sick for years and years. So believe me, when somebody gets delivered, okay, and they get set free, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the people who advertise it as well. I want to back it up now. 24. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. He's not beating around the bush. They hated him. And obviously his Father. 25. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogues. They're going to excommunicate you. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. So when they crucified Jesus, they really thought they were doing God's will. And in a sense, they were. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. The Passover week, which is starting next week on Monday at sundown, 7 o'clock, will be a time to set aside what you normally do on a particular week and to take time out and say, okay, God, what do you want from me? It's not compulsory. You're not getting a sin situation. We are not going to any guilt or self-condemnation. But I want you to pray. I want you to pray and ask God, what services do I go to? Which ones do I take out of my week and purpose to set with the rest of the saints? Because there just might be some miracles that you'd like to witness. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen some miracles during Passover week. And it was done by him, not me. You say, well, how do you know which night? How do you know? And you ask God to make you an open door. If he wants you here, he'll get you here. If he wants you to be at a particular service, you're going to have a nudge inside your heart and you're going to know you're supposed to be there today. Because it might be your night to get free. It might be your day to be set free. And I can tell you this. When God is on the scene and he's treating you like a friend and a chosen vessel, he's not making believe. Chosen vessels are instruments to accomplish God's purpose. Just close your eyes right now. Say, a chosen vessel is an instrument to accomplish God's purpose. And that's me. Haggai 2:23. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. John 15:16, I already gave to you. Acts 9:15 says, Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings. And before the people of Israel. That was when they prayed over St. Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Now, you remember, the Lord taught 12 apostles, yes? The highest knowledgeable man who had been trained in the finest of schools was St. Paul. He had at least, from what I understand, a possibility of up to 14 languages that he could speak. He knew all things from way back when he was a small boy. And God sent him to teach the Romans. Now, in Jerusalem, there were the highest of education available. And God sent Peter, the fisherman. There's your wisdom. I would have sent the guy who is educated to teach those that supposedly are so wise. But no. He sends a fisherman who's had no training, can't even read. I mean, think about it. They were insulted. You're sending this guy who can't read or write, goes and fishes for a living. What? What are you sending him to downtown Jerusalem? We don't want to see him. Think about it. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. One more, 1 Corinthians 1:28, next verse. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And verse 29, so that no one can boast before him. When you decide that you've got it all, you better turn around and ask God to forgive you because you're already on the wrong track. You've got the little bit that you've got, and only because of His grace and His man, and His mercy. And I'm not yelling at you, because my granddaughter told me that I'm yelling at the people, and we don't want to yell at you. I just want to make sure that the word goes in your heart. And the last time she came, I had a word of knowledge that came over one of the ladies, and it came out of me like a shotgun. And she witnessed that, and she was sitting over here, and we're on the way home, and she says, "Why did you yell at Peggy?" I was quite angry at that force that was trying to overwhelm this woman of God, and I got rid of it and told it to leave in Jesus' name. And of course, I wasn't thinking about my audience. So I got reprimanded on the way home. But you know what? She's a wise little girl. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes. Take the hand that's next to you. Say, "Lord Jesus, tonight,
we're asking for grace.
For those who are going to be preparing
for
this upcoming Passover week.
Show me what to do.
Which days to be here.
I want to do your will.
Not my own.
And I lift up
the saints that couldn't be here tonight.
Bless them.
Prepare them
for the upcoming week.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other.
Fellowship Sunday.
Oh, Fellowship Sunday. Yes. Munchies on Sunday. Amen. Don't want to forget that.